Our reading today from the New Testament is 1 Peter chapter 1. We're reading verses 3 to 9. 1 Peter chapter 1. I believe you'll find it on page 1176. Peter starts out his letter to God's elect strangers in the world, and then he mentions how these Christians are scattered throughout these various regions of the known world at that time. And so his letter comes to the church in various places of the world. It also comes to us today. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 3 for our text for the sermon. Hear God's word. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Then if you skip down to verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Our scripture text is 1 Peter chapter 1 at verse 3. Title of the sermon is Easter Gives Us Hope, Causes Us to Praise God, and the theme of the sermon today is on hope. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the word that comes from you, written by so many different authors. And Lord, we thank you that you have given your apostle to write this letter. And we pray today that we would be encouraged in our faith. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to serve you better because our faith is stronger, because we have a better understanding of who Jesus is and what he wants for us. We ask that the preaching would be faithful and that your word would be foundational for our life. It would be the rock upon which our house is built, that Jesus would be our Redeemer. Amen. I had a history teacher in college that enjoyed quoting a line from a famous poem written in the 1300s, Dante's Divine Comedy, where the poet imagines the afterlife, and he writes about it. And in the poem, there's a sign over the entrance to hell. You might wonder, well, what would be the sign over such a place? Well, in the poem, the sign reads, "Abandon all hope, you who enter herein." And the professor would quote the line to the class as he handed out his essay test that would take all hour to do. Well, if you didn't feel totally prepared, if you hadn't done a good job studying, it was a sinking feeling to hear the professor say, "Abandon all hope." Well, however bad our situation might be, we are not in hell. The creator of the universe has revealed himself in the scriptures. He has given his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Last Sunday, we celebrated our Lord's resurrection. And that's the reason we come to church on Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, and every Sunday after that is called the Lord's Day, and the church gathers for worship, as they did in our reading in John chapter 20. The church has a message of good news to communicate, and the message can be very briefly summarized. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And when we receive that message in a life-changing way, we experience the same things that the Christians in the Bible experienced. Like Paul, who wrote in Ephesians 2, that our loving God is rich in mercy. Paul certainly needed that. He regarded himself as the chief of sinners, the worst of sinners, for having in his earlier life persecuted the church. And so he celebrates the fact that our loving God is rich in mercy. That gives us hope, because we need mercy, that God would not treat us as our sins deserve, but he would be a God of mercy and hope. Paul prays for the church and at Rome, and in that letter, the church in chapter 15 of Romans at verse 13, his prayer, may the God of hope, seeing the Lord, we have to believe without seeing it. That's faith. And hope is a gift that we have because we're looking forward to the future. Paul will say, well, no one hopes for what you already have because you have it. But we believe in the promises of God, and so hope is one of God's gifts that we need to put to use. And Paul said, the greatest of these is love. Well, why is that? Well, because love will continue on in heaven, but we won't need to hope for heaven because we'll be there. We won't need to have faith there's a heaven because we'll be there, but there'll be love in heaven. The Apostle Peter wrote his letter to encourage Christians who were suffering. And we think of the suffering that's going on. And we might think that maybe we're the only ones suffering. But actually, it's universal. And it's also true of Christians. The Apostle Peter wants us to have hope. And in trying times, we're to look for reasons from the Bible and from the work of Christ to have hope. Peter says, as Christians, we were born into a living hope. And he starts out with praising God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So how is it that you're a Christian? How is it that you're a believer? Well, Peter says that he has given us new birth. So that's God's initiative. You don't get credit for being born. You know, people don't pat you on the back because you were born way back when. And so here the same thought is put to describe what God does for us in bringing us to faith. And so with that in mind, we see it's God's initiative. And so who do we thank? Well, we praise God. We thank him. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so Christians have a living hope because of Easter, because of Christ's resurrection, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I think especially of the Apostle Peter, you recall that he denied Christ three times. And the third time, one of the gospel accounts records that Jesus turned and looked at him. And you can imagine how Peter felt. And then Jesus went to the cross, and his body was put into a tomb. And Peter spent those 3 days, I'm sure, in a world of despair. But Resurrection Day for him turned into a world of hope. Because in Mark 16, the angel said to the women, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." What a wonderful message that must have been to the disciple Peter to realize, hey, I'm still part of it. I'm still included. Christ still loves me, even though I denied him. And so the resurrection of Jesus gave Peter hope, gives us hope. And we contrast that with unbelievers, because Paul said the life of unbelievers are people without hope and without God in the world. Peter wrote to give people hope, writes to give us hope. And in the case of the early church, many of them were going through persecution along with suffering. We read through the book of Job, and Job is a book about suffering. You know, Job, one day he lost his great wealth. He was the richest man in the ancient world. He lost it all in one day. He lost his family in a windstorm that crashed the house they were in. He lost his health. But we don't see human persecution there. We just see Job suffering. And Peter is writing to believers who also have the additional burden of suffering. So I know that every person here today is no stranger to suffering. There's been some suffering in your life. Probably some suffering going on right now. But Peter is writing also to people who have the additional burden of persecution. So to imagine today, if it was illegal to be a Christian, would we have as many people in church if we had that additional concern? If we were going to be fined or put in jail, or if society was going to look down on us, would we stand up under that? Well, Peter is writing to believers who are going through persecution along with the suffering of life. And so he writes to encourage them here. He's given us new birth into a living hope. And it's a new he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so this hope is based on the resurrection of Jesus that Peter witnessed, and the other disciples also. It's a hope based upon the presence of Jesus. You recall in his promise, his birth, that he was Emmanuel, God with us. And whenever the disciples thought that Jesus wasn't going to help him, that he wasn't around, that he didn't know what they were going through, and he would show up, he would say, "Cheer up." And the hope that we have is based upon the presence of Jesus, that he is with us, he's with his people, as opposed to a hope that is baseless in that we don't know the future. I remember as a very young pastor being in Bismarck Hospital, sitting in the waiting room, where there was a person who had an accident and was having surgery. And the brain surgeon came out, and before he came out and told us the news, which didn't sound very good, one of the children, a young lady, said, "I know my father won't die. He's too ornery to die." Well, that's not how it turned out. I would say that was a baseless hope. I think of a pastor whom I greatly respected. He told me when he had his cancer diagnosis that he was going to beat this cancer, that he knew it. I do believe we need to pray for the desires of our hearts, but to realize we don't know the secret will of God, because it didn't turn out that way, even though this person was a person of faith. And so we're not thinking here about a hope that's baseless, that, you know, we think it's going to be this way in the future and it isn't. But it's a hope based upon the presence of Jesus, that if God helping us, we're going to get through this. And even if it goes wrong, as far as we're concerned, that God's going to take us through us because Christ is with us. It's a hope based upon the eyewitness and skepticism of Thomas that we read here in our passage today. You know, Thomas was not going to believe unless he had clear evidence. And so Jesus challenged him and said, look, and put your fingers in my scars. I think Thomas actually had to do that because Jesus told him to. It is a hope based upon the fact that one of the disciples was very skeptical and had to have it proven. And then a hope based on the eyewitness confession of Thomas. As he stood in the Lord's presence, in the presence of Jesus, having seen the scars and his resurrection appearance, his confession was, my Lord and my God. He worshiped Jesus. And this is who Jesus is, that he is God. You don't worship anything that isn't God. And in the Gospel of John, this is what we're left with. This is what we start with. In the beginning, God and the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word became flesh. And now he's worshiped. Well, Christians have a certain hope of a lasting inheritance. Peter goes on to talk about our inheritance. Now, you might not get a physical inheritance from your ancestors, but you are promised a spiritual inheritance. The Old Testament experience was the land of Canaan. God said, I'm going to give you this land. Now there's a stipulation. You have to have faith to overcome. You have to have a faith to do battle with these Amorites and so forth. And the first generation followers of Moses didn't have that kind of faith. But eventually they got to the land of Canaan. The New Testament promise, which is a reality, is a new heaven and a new earth. That's our inheritance. And we have this to be a wonderful thing in that, you know, we have a land, we have a city, we have a place we belong. The Apostle Peter addresses Christians in the opening verse that goes a little bit beyond our reading. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and these various places. That's who we are in the Bible's picture. Some translations will translate the word here not as strangers, but as pilgrims or aliens. We're people who don't have a permanent residence here. You remember the song, the world's not my home, I'm just passing through. Well, how about this hymn? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me by thy powerful hand. So that's a picture we have in the Bible. We're going through the wilderness. We're dependent on the Lord every day. But we're not, our hope isn't here. Our hope is in the future, the life that God promises here as an inheritance in verse 4, that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. So it's an inheritance that can't be taken away. And I think of an inheritance. A lot of times people get inheritance when they're 70 years old. And, you know, that's great. But you may not be able to do a lot with that. And then pretty soon you're going to leave it all behind. And the Bible tells us here that this inheritance won't perish. It won't spoil. It won't fade away. It won't rust or be destroyed. You know, it's not like a new pickup where in how many years it'll be crushed for metal. It's not like that. It's permanent. And you'll have all eternity to enjoy it. And it's kept in heaven for you. It's kept in heaven for you. What a wonderful picture that is. In verses 5 to 8, we're pictured here as who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. In verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, so now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. So we're shielded by God's power. And this is not heaven. The future salvation is a cause of great rejoicing. And we're going to receive salvation because we have that shield. We're shielded by God's power. And in the meantime, for the present, the scriptures face head on the reality of our trials. We're not going to downplay our trials. And the Bible doesn't do that. In this you greatly rejoice, so now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. So think about your trials today. Think about your suffering. And as you think about if this would continue on through life, all the years of your life, in a sense it would only be for a little while because our life is short. And the purpose of these trials, there is a purpose. In verse 7, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we have this picture of the goldsmith purifying his product. With the gold, there's dross that needs to be removed. And the purpose of all kinds of trials that befall us in life is to prove that our faith is genuine. And as we sang in the song today, how firm a foundation. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. God doesn't give us trials to cause our faith to collapse. It is to refine us. And so the Apostle Peter describes the life of believers in verse 8 as those who trust Jesus, those who have faith, or people of faith who have put their trust in the Lord. And we tie in now to what Jesus told Thomas, you know, you have seen me, okay, you believe now, but he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So that'd be us, right? That'd be you. You haven't seen Jesus and yet you have believed. And so we come to verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So people of faith, you don't have to see. You believe without seeing, and you receive the blessing. And so we're people that can be described as not seeing him now, but someday, yes. And if we look in our lives, we should see a love for the Lord, a response to his resurrection, a response to his kindness, a love for the Lord, and that we are can be described as filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So even when we're going through trials, there can be the reality of joy. And Peter said, in doing that, you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And in our final verse, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Peter is writing his letter asking the Christians to focus on the Lord and to have a hope where others would be able to visibly see it. And in chapter 3, he gives us a wonderful command as we go through trying times and we're in the presence of people that don't believe. He says, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So what would be the reason for the hope that you have? Well, having gone through this portion of the letter, it would be the death and resurrection of Christ. The death of Jesus to pay for my sins and his resurrection, that he is alive, and I'm going to set my hope fully on the grace that will be given when he's revealed. We battle at times against despair, and we need to realize that despair is the devil's tool. We need to believe God's promises of a future resurrection. And when you do that, you will have a sure and certain hope that will cause you to praise the Lord now and forever. And because of all that, we want to do what the Apostle Peter did and acknowledge where the praise should go. And to God alone be the glory. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for giving us a new birth into a living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. We ask, Lord, that we would set apart Christ as Lord, that we would be able to give an answer to anyone who asks for the hope that we have. And Lord, today we ask that you would fill us, as you're the God of hope, make our cup of blessing run over with hope. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.